Blog Talk Radio.
From ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports In Depth.
Before Rooney brings us on, this is some interview as we're live in the barbecue. Jamel Miller talks about his 119 to 109 victory night with our good friend, our beloved Max Kellerman. There he is. He said he's ready for Wilder. He's undefeated and displayed a lot of things tonight. Delivery. Mel's a junior bench. So hold on, gang. Sports in that block. I'm ready to touch
the guy. And if I may say that the Sports In Depth Nation is here. The Sports In Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
Well, it felt a lot like summer today here, and we're at the Barclays Center. We're here last week, and my man Jason coming through. We're bringing you a live show from the Barclays Center. We're going to talk boxing, we're going to talk football. Of course, the business gets louder when we didn't want it to get to. Teddy Jacobs is coming on to defend his middleweight championship and to move closer, hopefully one more step, to fighting none other than Triple G. Will not be fighting Canelo for a heart of region. First of all, I want to thank God, first and foremost, and blessed one man Jason tonight, who is there for us as we are bringing you this live from the Barclays Center. I think it's admirable. Well, I do it in Fortaleza, Brazil, Caxias, Brazil, São Paulo, cold today in New York, maybe someplace in the south, or as Demi and my son-in-law in the Republic doing. But it's summer, man. It's cool in the gang. We're waiting for the main event. Jason, come on in here. Jay, sit down, baby. Let's talk. Got some things going on. A lot of things happening here. Draft going on. Cool thing opens up with the greatest speech Dave ever did. As always, we open with a prayer. The music was so great before. Now it's getting too loud with the raps. We were talking about that earlier, too. We'll get back to that in a minute. As always, though, we open up with prayer. With John Coltrane opened up in Dear Lord. And then we're going to talk some boxing and all the other things here, too. Sports in the Block Talk Radio on the Trust in God Radio Network. A moment or two. As we move toward the Sabbath, John Coltrane leads us in prayer. Mr. Train. Let me have you. We'll have you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so large. You take for granted. This one is good enough. We need the area. Thank you for clothes on our backs, our feet. same but going on the course, not muscle. And we're done as Jesus. And with that, we're going to talk to you here. Jason, well, thank you here, man, for being. Let's go over, Jason. Get closer now. Jacobs against Zielinski. How do we find the last name?
Yeah, I believe it's Zielinski.
Mm-hmm.
You know, undefeated fighter from overseas, 26-0 with 10 knockouts. You know, he hasn't faced a fighter of the caliber of Jacobs, so Jacobs is a heavy favorite, as he should be, to win and to move on to bigger and better things, possibly a rematch with Triple G down the road.
Yeah, you know, that fight with Triple G, you know, that's been a whole crazy scenario. Well, Triple G, Canelo, that fight was postponed. Canelo's been suspended. Last week, they had a good card here last week at the Garden. Good little fight here, too, though. You know, the boy from Brooklyn, Miller, against De Harris. You know, 37-4. Now, it may be saying De Harris not wrong, but very possible. You know, he fought some good quality people. Russell Wilder, pre-game introductions, pre-game, pre-fight interruptions. Oh, he put a good event. Yeah, you know, he put up a good fight. Miller hasn't gone that distance. It was a good test for him. I think he showed some stamina. I think that was a big question about him, how the stamina was. He seemed like to run out of gas, but that extra weight maybe turned out to be some fuel for him, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, his punches seemed to wear down towards the latter part of the fight. So, but I think if you were to face like a Wilder or Joshua, he would have to trim down probably about 25-30 pounds.
Wow, yeah.
Because
maybe you're talking about that, yeah.
Because those two are athletic heavyweights.
Uh-huh, good point.
And, you know, even though Miller packs a punch, he's going to need to be quicker if he's going to connect with those two heavyweights. Because especially Wilder, he can be elusive when he wants to be, and Joshua has good defense. So he has to get quicker if he's going to compete with those two.
What you're saying is he's not in that class. Nice record. Nice fighter, stay where he is. He can call for him, and maybe he can get him. But the question, he's not in their class.
Definitely not in their class. But hey, it's heavyweights. All it takes is one punch. Only takes one.
Someone right into reality. Yeah. Okay. Jimmy, come on. Doc Stanley Sporting News, Live Talk Radio, Justin Garvey Network. That whole scenario with Triple G and Canelo. You know, it was a thing where people said, wow, how dumb could he be? You know, how stupid could he be? How could Golden Boy allow this to happen? But talking to Eddie Murray, you know what, you know, we talked about earlier, how the music was so nice, so low, you could do a show,
yeah.
And now that they're bringing up the heavy rap stuff, Jason alluded to the same thing you did about Miller. You know, if he's going to fight better competition, he's got to lose the weight.
But when it comes down to this, he did show some signs of being able to have his stamina correct because he did make the 11th, 12th rounds. He did look a little tank in the 11th and 12th round. But my biggest concern is, in order for him to go up against somebody like a Wilder or even a Joshua at this point, these are two extremely athletic guys. And, you know, the skill set is not there with Wilder, but the athleticism. As far as the athleticism, it's not so much with Joshua Lasso, but the boxing technician is. You don't have no business being that overweight and being able to compete on that edge, and that's only my opinion. But at the same time, well, how many times have we seen guys lose that weight that they have, and it works in their favor? We don't know what kind of power he's going to have, 20 or 30 pounds less. So, and again, I'm only speaking from experience. I've seen me lose power 10 pounds from when I was fighting. So you just don't know. And that Nazim Richards was the one that brought that to my attention. He goes, you can't judge how you're going to be 25 pounds lighter because you don't even know how what kind of fighter you're going to be. You don't know if you're going to bounce. It's going to be different. So my question is, I think Gerald Miller's got a lot of good skill. He's got a lot of old school techniques. He knows how to fight off the ropes. He's got a good angles, good head movement. I just don't see him being a force as a heavyweight champion. I don't. I just think he lacks that.
Jason said it. I said it. You know, he's not in their class. Okay, he's gonna have to fight him. He's undefeated. And all the things that Joe brought up, the weight, we also brought the fact out that he doesn't have the skills they have. But just said, you know what, in heavyweight division, one punch can change everything, G-Dub.
You're absolutely right about that. But at the same time, though, we talk about longevity. You know, there's always been those Oliver McCalls, and there's always been the Oxy Rockman. And then let's see what happens after that's done. They both ended up in a whole different level when Lennox was right. So, yeah, we couldn't change everything with one punch. He's here. He's at the dinner table. But in the end, longevity-wise, I don't see him being a long-term heavyweight champion. It doesn't happen. Not with that extra weight. He's too slow. Very good charismatic fighter. Good contender. Maybe get a branch of the titles. You don't know if it breaks up. But to compete on that high level, too overweight.
Yeah, no question. It's like Danny Jacobs was very impressive. Probably Jason, the most impressive visual ever seen anybody. The African dancers dancing before him, bringing them in, probably the best entrance I've ever seen by anybody, and the most entertaining.
I don't have to agree. But the most entertaining since Chris Nassib back in the day, he would come out like as a king or like a magic carpet.
Yeah.
But it seems to be like a Black Panther theme tonight. You know, Baby Miller came down to the ring in the previous fight in a Black Panther outfit. And now Danny Jacobs is coming out to Who's Gonna Pray For Me, the theme song for Black Panther. So, and of course, with the dancers, so it's a Black Panther theme out in Brooklyn tonight.
Man, only in America, only in Brooklyn. Doc Terry, Sporting the Bronx, like radio, and Tristan Carlewick. It's main event time. We're talking boxing. We're talking about the game of the Canelo Alvarez thing. But, you know, Eddie Murray, Jason, and GW talked to me, and I called him from Europe. Doc Terry ringside here with Jason and GW Mike here at the box. They said that Danny Jacobs coming, defending his title. Danny, the miracle guy, the miracle man, the good feel story of the first fight held him with them when they brought boxing back to Brooklyn, you know what I mean? He had, by the grace of God, overcame cancer. He was a good feel-good story guy. Now he's going on to heights on parallel, becoming a middleweight champion. A guy that a lot of people thought beatable, G. Jason.
In my opinion, that fight should have went either way. I believe the scorecards were 114, 113, and 115, 112 two times. But that fight could have gone either way. You know, Triple G scored a fourth-round knockdown in that fight, which ultimately led to him winning by a close, unanimous decision. But if Jacobs wins tonight and Triple G wins next week, you know, they can easily have a rematch later this year because where it is, once Canelo's suspension is over, Triple G has no interest in fighting him after the failed drug test. So,
wow.
If Jacobs wins tonight, on, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first. What's in that box? I'm going to address the governor. You heard it here first. Triple G says, hey, if you ain't clean, I don't want to deal with you, baby.
Plus, I think I already beat you anyway.
Yeah, nah, I thought Triple G definitely won the fight. You know, it was a close competitive fight. Triple G was more aggressive coming in. At least 7-8 rounds, you know, so. And come to think about it, he thought Canelo was cheating the first time, and now for him to fail two drug tests in February, you know, from an error, he lost interest in fighting Triple G. But then again, he's saying that now. But he knows Canelo, fighting Canelo,
that's where the money is. That's where the money is. And GW, Jason is saying, too, that Triple G has said he now has no interest in fighting Canelo. Canelo failed the drug test. He felt that he beat him anyway. He has no interest in fighting Canelo. But hey, and if you felt you could beat him, let's go back and beat him again. It's a win. You win the fight, and you win your biggest fight ever.
I think what it comes down to, Triple G's riding nothing different than the Hagler Road against Leonard when Leonard was retiring. Same thing, you're a long-term champion, you're built on your reputation of title defenses and not no talking in the ring when you're talking in the ring. It's the same thing. He knows that Canelo is his cash cow. Canelo is his Sugar Ray Leonard. That's it. There's nothing that Triple G could do that's going to take that stain off his resume. It's still a draw. He's still a smart guy. Canelo comes back from the suspension. It's unfortunately in this world, just like politics, just like the money business. It goes where the money is. Canelo gets a 6-month suspension, where it was somebody else, it'd probably be a 2-year suspension. But unfortunately, We're in the business of realism. Canelo is the cash cow. Canelo is the ticket. And it's a money, and it's boxing. So let's not, you know, is it right? No. But can I ask you a question? Look, who's president of the United States right now? Is that right? That's all I'm going to say. So it doesn't make a difference. Money don't know right and wrong. Triple G, I think, honestly, it works in Canelo's favor for the suspension because the longer the fight goes, the older Triple G gets.
Benny Jacobs comes in at 33-2 with 29 knockouts. Warsaw, Poland is where his opponent comes from. He's 29-0, undefeated, round one for the middleweight championship of the world, one of the belts that Triple G doesn't have. Gentlemen, talking to Eddie Murray, and Eddie Murray talked about something, though, and I called him from Brazil, greatest switch in the history of baseball, but he said that, you know, it's long been a known fact, Jason, that they've had problems with the Mexican fighters due to the fact that there is some problem with the meat that they have in Mexico. So it's not a situation that Canelo could have been lying. It's just that the situation that he's in a place where that's a problem.
Oh, no, it's definitely a problem. I mean, it's well documented. But at the same time, you're a professional athlete. If I know this, you know this, he and his team know this. They have to be smarter about getting his meals prepared, you know. Maybe instead of having a training camp in Mexico, having it in California, you know. That way you don't have to worry about any consuming any contaminated meat. I mean, it's just like a pro athlete, like in boxing, and I'm sorry, football, you know, there are certain supplements you cannot take. They're considered PED, so you have to be smart about what you put into your body. Same goes for Canelo. I mean, it's unfortunate. It may have happened accidentally, but he and his team should have been wiser about the food he intakes.
Makes a tremendous point. I mean, especially in today's game. Wait, hold on.
Change the subject. We got a kid that came to fight on our hands right now. If this kid got a chin, we're going to have problems tonight. This kid's whole demeanor is different. He came right at Danny, and he's throwing away, and he's technical. I don't know nothing about this kid, but it's dangerous. He's jabbing like he owns the ring.
I don't know if he's Derek Finley, like 2 years ago, mm-hmm. like seventh round knockout, Derek Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the point I wanted to make here before you guys.
If he has a chin, we got a problem. If he has a chin, he's coming out with the right demeanor, but we don't know if he has a chin. If he has a chin, we got a problem.
We'll find out. Back to that point that you made, Jason, is that you're right. With a strength coach, a stretch coach, a nutrition coach, there's no way in the world you should be on a diet that's a detriment to you, Jason.
Exactly, because, you know, it's everybody knows there's an issue with that drug in cow meat in Mexico. So you have to be smart about this. You have to avoid taking cattle. Or just simple, move your training camp to California, you don't have to worry about it. Now your reputation is tainted, and now you're missing out on a big payday. Because, I mean, the rematch may happen, but it's not given, you know. What happens if Canelo, Duluth gets upset next week, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, your reputation.
Oh, he decides after tonight to fight Danny Jacobs again.
There you go. And then Canelo's out in the cold. You know, he, especially his promoter, Oscar De La Hoya, has been a game around a long time, since 1992. He should have taken every precaution necessary to make sure that everything was on the up and up, and ludicrous that has already happened before, Jay. This point, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, so it's unfortunate, but I have no sympathy for Canelo because, you know, you just got to be smart about
stupid
it.
Stupid does as stupid does.
There you go. And some people, I'm not one of them to believe, but some people, such as Paulo Malignaggi, believe he did it purposely. I mean, some people feel he did it purposely. So, like I said, his reputation is now tainted.
Okay,
know?
Now, purposely he's doing this to get out of this, he doesn't want to fight Triple G again?
Oh, no, just in general. Like, I mean, we've seen his body make subtle changes.
Okay, you know what? So here's the thing that he thinks he's immune. He thinks he's the fact that, you know, I'm Canelo, it's Mexico, hey, I'm going to get a pass.
I believe they talked last week. It was Leonard Ellerbe and Paulie Malignaggi that the drug test happened in Mexico, which is generally unexpected. I think they thought he would actually... It would actually occur when he moved to California for the second part of training camp. So, like I said, if you're a Canelo fan, you think he took it by accident. If you're a little suspect or, you know, a Triple G fan, you think he did it deliberately, you know.
Doc Stanley Sports, Block Talk Radio, and the Trusted Radio. Good.
it's a very good point that you could say. You know, you could even take it to that level. Did he take it purposely? You know, again, for long term, Canelo has everything to gain by not fighting Triple G right now. Time's on his side, and I have to be honest with you. You got to speak bluntly anymore because you can't keep your mouth shut as the press. Oscar De La Hoya shows every reasoning to not keep dragging this fight out and prolonging the inevitable. It's just disgusting. That last fight was definitely not right. The thing that frustrates me most of all with a situation like this is we had guys that had a trainer and a manager all in the same unit. You have a strength and conditioning coach now. You've got a nutritionist. You've got, Christ's sake, you got a motivational speaker in corners now. I mean, I'm surprised if they got a team for the guy and his kitten if he goes up the tree. It's pathetic how many people are getting paid off this stuff. How do you end up eating a piece of meat? Suppose it just doesn't happen. There's a lot of other fighters that eat the same meat. You're right, Michael. But the question is,
what Mike said?
Mike said there's a lot of fighters that are.
Yeah, so there's a lot of fighters that eat the same meat.
You know, Robert Garcia.
They did not get the same amount when they got tested. The same amount didn't show up, so it had to be something else.
Okay. So we're going with stupid does the stupid does.
Well, let's say this. Now let's call a spade a spade. All right. We want to talk genetics, and we're going to talk reality. I'm not trying to get anybody for defamation of character here, but I'm only going to state my opinion. So I don't want to say it's a fact because I don't know for a fact. And I'm not trying to say anything out there that is not being said already. Now, when you see a guy like, let me take for instance, who can I look at and say this? You look at a guy like, even with Danny Jacobs, he's a lean, he's cut, there's a muscle on all parts of his body, he's lean. Canelo looks like a balloon. If you know steroids, you know what somebody looks like on steroids. Let's call a spade a spade. These guys take steroids 4 or 5 months before the fight, and they go off. It's undetectable at that point. If everybody was taking that test every month or every couple weeks, you'd see a totally different point. We're all turning a blind eye just like we did in baseball. We wanted home runs. And we got and steroids did it for you. Now we got to take a look at this in boxing because this seems to be a real big contradiction because you got guys that want to live clean. And now you got guys, like it's nothing. To test positive for steroids, that's a big deal, man. It's a real big deal. It's not something that you should be taking lightly. You're fucking cheating. That's it. Somebody gets killed on somebody's watch with steroids, you're going to see a difference, and then you're going to see where it makes a difference there, and you're going to see how the playing field changes. But it's the same thing. One guy, if he's a killer on steroids and it gives him that edge, everyone should be able to do it. So we got to go one way or the other. Everybody uses it, and it's under control, or you got to have testing all the time. Yes, it makes a big difference when somebody has that extra edge. People don't understand that. As an athlete. Oh, my God, you're talking about a fight. Wait, listen. You're talking about a very, very big game changer. All right? And again, I don't want to tarnish anyone's career, but we know people have taken them. And we all, as the public, can say, oh, you know, he took steroids. But yet we're still talking about how many belts these people collected. Bottom line is, it is the reality. You got to speak out about it. There should be testing 24/7. And that's it. So, in fact, that Canelo, if you don't think Canelo took steroids and you think this is a surprise to you, shame on you. You shouldn't even be writing because you and I both know, everybody knows. Look at the body that this guy has. He's a buffed up middleweight. His neck is thick. He's ballooned up. No, I'm sorry. But, and again, I'm not, nobody's trying to. He's just part of a
fraternity. 2 and 2 is 4. That's the bottom line. You know, if you add it up, 2 and 2 is 4.
No, and that's it. Like, say what you want.
Well, you said it all. I mean, you can look at the natural body, you look at the imposed body. It is round number 3, Danny Jacobs, 33-2. You called it earlier. Real quickly, look at the Raptors here, Jason. Numbers retired by the
Well, the New York Nets at one time, the Jersey Nets, now the Brooklyn Nets, the first number, Julius Erving, the greatest basketball player ever saw day in, day out. You can talk about Michael Jackson, Lord know you want. Dr. J was his superior when he was Dr. J. Bill Melchione, number 25, retired. Melchione, Julius Erving, only two players in the history of basketball to win championships in both the NBA and the ABA. Number 23, Super John, another dear friend, the late John, Super John Williamson, on both of those championship teams. Sedgwick, wow, part of that era with Jason Williams, his number's up there. So we have 32, 25, 23, 3, and Jason Kidd, number 5. So we always like that number. His number's there, and Jason Williams, number 52. So in the history of the Nets, you've got six numbers retired. Jason Kidd, Jason Williams, wow, Jason, Pogovich, Super John Williamson, Bill Melchione, and the legendary, Julius Dr. J. Irvin. You said that this was going to be a fight. They won the ABA championship in 73, 75, 76, and they won it two in 73, 74. The last team to win an ABA championship in history of that league. And we've got a fight here right now. How do you see it? Who's leading this fight right now?
I think Danny's losing. I got to be honest with you. I think Danny's losing.
Jason, how you got this score, Jason, so far? Danny behind?
I scored the first two rounds 1-1, but it looked like Jason just got buckled a few seconds ago by a right hand. I mean, is anybody's fight? They're going back and forth. We're going to do one here at the Barclays Center.
Here it is, man. A good card last week, and two good fights here. The pre-main event.
The fact that body, I don't like the fact, I don't see discipline here because Danny Jacobs just sort of, if you look in the science behind it, and I think Andre is going to say something to him now, because Andre's a pretty honorable cornerable guy, or honorable cornerman. When you have a guy, he just hit that body. He banged that body with two or three shots. He started to do backed off on that. Now, my problem is, you go back to the headhunting form of going after that body shot. Where's the discipline jab? A strong, heavy jab that Emmanuel would have told you to put out. These are the problems these guys lack. That extra second right there could have been, okay, I'm hurt for a minute. Now you go right back to a solid jab, a solid, stiff, Joe Louis-type jab. It's not taught anymore.
You know, two things. Andre ain't Emmanuel Stewart, and you just mentioned some legendary names in this game.
Same.
How late could Emmanuel Stewart and Joe Louis, who probably had...
Talk about the same tapes, though, man.
Yeah, hey, Joe Louis probably had the greatest jab in the history of boxing.
I agree with you 100%, Doc, but, you know, we're talking, this is everything goes back, you know, it comes down to the first thing that goes on. When you start a car, you put it in drive. It starts in park. What is it? How do you go back? You go back to the jab. It's an amateur. You focus on the jab. And I think that if Danny just focused on his jab just now, right back to that, when you hurt somebody, Andre Ward, where does Andre Ward go right back to? It's a jab right jab. Not even a jab right hook.
It's a straight jab. Bam.
Yeah. It's, you know, and this is, like you said, you're having problems here because you got a fight on your hands right now.
Yeah, and now you question a situation like this.
Good body shot.
You question Mahir how well he fought against Triple G. And yet he's not doing the same thing here.
Doc, you know, the thing is, I was just telling my son about the same thing, right? We don't know with stuff like that. You know, how many fights went the distance that Hagler had or Hopkins had a few problems with that? Just don't know. Sometimes the guy had an off night.
Okay.
You don't know. I mean, that's it. So, like I said, I like Danny. I think Danny's a very good boxer. I do need to see more. I think this is going to be a pretty good test for him tonight. This is a good fight. This kid came to fight. I like it.
We will see here. It's round number four here at the Barclays Center. Danny Jacobs, 33-2 for their knockouts.
Danny Joe Saunders. I got to be honest with you. I'd like to see Danny fight Billy Joe Saunders for the title.
Well, it may be happening if we can get through this fight. Jason, let's talk about the draft real quick. Giants and Jets, the first time since the Giants picked a guy named Lawrence Taylor as the second pick overall, and the Jets picked the quarterback. Giants picked the running back. Let's talk about the picks, Giants and Jets here this weekend in the draft. Number 2 went to the Giants. Number 3 went to the Jets. Number 2 pick running back out of Penn State,
Running game is going to be helpful, especially if he's a good runner. He can take some of the defense off of the pressure off of Eli Manning, and wow, that opens up things for Odell Beckham.
I mean, play it simple, the Giants got the best offensive player in the draft in Saquon Barkley. I mean, he's a true third every down back. He had about 1,900 all-purpose yards in last season at Penn State, 18 rushing touchdowns, 3 receiving touchdowns. He even ran back 2 kickoffs for a touchdown. He's going to open up the passing game as well because teams are going to have to they have to pay attention to him as well as OBJ, Sterling Shepard, and Evan Ingram. So now that the Giants have an approved offensive line with Nate Solder, and then they got Will Hernandez in the draft, the offense will be very dynamic this year, in my opinion, if everybody stays healthy. You know, Pat Shurmur, the new head coach, he's committed to running the ball. When he was with the Vikings last year as offense coordinator, they had the second most rushing attempts in the league. So expect a well, high-powered, balanced offense from the Giants this year.
Okay, Jets, pick the quarterback. And the saying here, you know, 2 or 3 games, maybe 4 games they should have won last year. And Todd Bowles can't have, Coach Bowles can't have another losing season. The consensus is, and if he does, it's sayonara.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't see the Jets having a winning season. I mean, you have McCown as your quarterback. You know, he's like a stopgap quarterback. You can't expect him to carry a team into the playoffs. Darnold, he has potential. My concern with Darnold is, you know, he's a good kid, very poised, but he's turnover prone. You know, 13 interceptions last year. And more concerning than that are the 9 fumbles. And that's why playing at USC, you know, when you had, like, the best team weekend, like, every Saturday, now you're with the Jets. You know, you got to play against the Patriots in the cold weather. How are you going to hold on to the ball in November and December if you can't hold on to it in Southern California?
Oh, yeah.
You know? Right. So, you know, that's a little concerning. But we'll see. But at best, I think the Jets might be like a 6-10 team. I don't think that'll be enough for Bowles to keep his job unless ownership shows patience with him, which typically they don't do in the NFL.
Mark Stanley, Sports Internet, Blog Talk Radio, on the Touchdown Guard, and Eric Locke from the Barclays Center is Jacobs against the Lukey, Jason, and GW Mike here. We read the numbers of the Knicks numbers have been retired here. The Golden State Warriors have moved on to the next round. Tomorrow, game number 7 is big for LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Celtics moved on to the next round, winning their 7th game at home. Tradition. Well, 7 of 7 games in the Boston Garden that the Celtics always seem to win. And right now, Danny Jacobs with 135 in round 5 is in a fight. Well, you know, GW said that. GW said he's in for a fight. He's in for a fight. And I think he's maybe failing this fight right now.
He could be. I mean, we hate to say it, but the fight's in Brooklyn, and a hometown fighter normally gets the benefit of the doubt in close rounds. So we're in round 5 right now. We might see it, our eyes, we might see it as 2-2. Judge him to have it 4-0 or 3-1 in Jacob's favor. You know, that's just the sad truth about boxing.
As Don King said, not only in America, but only in Brooklyn.
There you go. There you go.
Don Stanley, Sports Internet, Blog Talk Radio, a special guy on the network. Can we get an updated score on that Golden State game?
Okay,
GW, come ahead, man. Let's talk to me. You talked about Reginald Martinez Jackson. Big Reggie Jackson fan.
Oh, yeah. I said, man. I'm a Reggie Jackson.
What's your name?
Warriors 76, Pelicans 48, 50 seconds left in the second quarter.
That kind of seems like they got to kind of control that game, I think, huh?
I was a big Reggie Jackson fan, you know, and again, Reggie Jackson to me is a major contribution, not only to the sport he played baseball, but I think to his race in general, man. I think he came along at the perfect time. You know, it was a wonderful time for African Americans in the sport. You know, it was a first time in history that you actually had a generation past the civil rights movement that was out there. And Reggie played it. You know, Reggie was a very educated man. You know, he definitely moved forward, and it was a credit to his people. And, you know, I thought he was a very, very, very big pillar to baseball. itself, and also a part of the African American movement.
Hey, tag to Muhammad Ali, a baseballer. We talked about that one time.
Quiet and humbly, though.
Quiet and humbly.
Well, you know, the thing about Reggie Jackson, the thing about Michael Jackson, we thought they always were black.
And, you know, Reggie, the night that Reggie hit the 3 home runs, my late dear friend Leroy Neiman was talking to Reggie on the field, and Reggie told him, you know, Leroy, I got to feel like I'm going to do something special tonight.
I have to tell you, the thing that really, I don't think people realize about the 80s athletes and the 70s athletes was this was the pinnacle of this was a major, major movement in sports, and not only for sports. See, I'm a proud Italian American, and my 50s and 60s are full of guys like Rocky Marciano, Joe DiMaggio, Jake LaMotta. Jake was Jake, but we were hardworking. We had the opportunity because after one or two generations, they had to accept us. You know what I mean? We did our thing. We came up. See, when you go through history, you know, you have to understand, you know, we talk about baseball. We talk about, you cannot count statistics until 1960s. Because the bottom line is, African Americans were not allowed to play. There was not even playing ground. It was not an even playing field. So when you talk about the 80s and 70s athletes, this was a whole new era of sports. And not only was it just because of the rights of the players playing, but we're talking about it was a whole other era of medicine, athleticism, dieting. So you throw all that into the mix.
Everything.
It was unbelievable. And now, you know, people talk about how it's supposed to evolve. The medicine, the training, and all this stuff evolved. But the only thing that has not evolved with this is heart. So you could have all of this. You might have the bodies of these guys. You don't have the heart of these players. So I think 80s and 70s and 80s, when everything came to fruition, it was at that peak, that prime of all of everything coming together. And, you know, not to stray away from it, but, you know, guys like Reggie, man, handled himself in such a manner that was just, you know, I've never seen a more graceful character in sports, and he was a credit to his people, man. Like, really.
You know, and people forget, you know, when Reggie came here, Doc Stanley Sports, their Block Talk Radio, Trusted Gardner, is round number 6 of a fight that Danny Jacobs may not be winning here in his own hometown.
He's
winning,
Doc. He's winning.
Okay.
He's winning to a degree. And, I mean, he's in a fight, though.
Okay. He's taking control of this. So Reggie Jackson, 2 thoughts about Reggie Jackson, 3 thoughts about Reggie Jackson. People forget, Reggie won 3 world championships in a row with the Oakland A's before he came to New York. Reggie Jackson, on the night that he hit the 3 home runs, he was talking to my late dear friend, Leroy Neiman. He said, you know, I got a feeling I'm going to do something special tonight. And Leroy said, Reggie, you always said, no, Leroy, I got a feeling I'm going to do something special. He did. 3 home runs, first pitch, 3 different pitches. First player to hit 3 home runs in a game since Babe Ruth. Only player to hit 3 home runs on 3 consecutive pitches. The night that Thurman Munson had his plane crash, Reggie Jackson originally was supposed to go with Thurman. Thurman had asked Reggie to come on that day off. Reggie said he was going to go. And then Reggie said at the last minute, he said, no, Thurman, I can't go. I've got a commitment. He said he was driving his Rolls Royce convertible down the street in California when he heard on the radio that the plane had crashed. He said he was pulled over.
Just shut it.
Yeah. All right. So I said it's worth the Brown Talk Radio, Trust and Government. Now we're moving into round 7 of the fight that maybe now Jacobs will be taking control, but he's in the fight, getting the workout. Reginald Martinez Jackson, MVP, 500 home runs, first ballot Hall of Famer, guy that could speak fluent English and fluent Spanish. Got a chance to talk to him on a couple of occasions. And you know, Mike, a lot of people always saw Italians as the Italian African Americans. And
when you're down Naples and Sicily, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I know. A lot of times when I'm in Brazil, guys, they think I'm Italian. That's the language I speak to. I speak to Luta. I got to brush up on it. The Barclays Center, round 7. Danny Jacobs here defending his title. We'll talk some a lot of other things. We'll talk some about the draft. We'll talk some baseball, some basketball. We'll talk some other things. We'll talk about Reggie Jackson and that lineup, that great team they had. You know, Mickey Rivers, Dave Winfield, Greg Nettles, Santana at short, Willie Randolph at second baseman, Chris Chambers behind the plate, the late Thurman Munson, Cliff Johnson. And we talked about
he's having problems with that right. He came in with a right. Oh boy, he's gotta control that. Look at that.
Maybe the kind of workout he needs after having a couple of fights that were seen as easy, kind of workouts he needs to display his ability, kind of workouts he needs that maybe he will be the next fight for Triple G. As so much talk about Triple G doesn't want to fight Canelo anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think. I think that's the slightest thing from the truth that Golovkin doesn't want to fight Canelo. I mean, let's be honest. Do you not want $10 to $12 million? Who's it? Come on. I mean, it's verbiage. That's all it is. It's bullshit. What's a big fight without bullshit? You know what I mean? It is what it is. I mean, it's we'll see. Time will tell. Me personally, though, I got to be honest with you. I mean, is it that how we look at it? I mean, from a skill point of view, is it that much of a mega fight? No, I'm serious.
No, well, I mean,
names.
Well, you know, and the point you're bringing here too is that from a skill fight, right? Triple G is seen as this big monster. He's not the most elite guy out there. Canelo has lost a couple of fights that he was given, and he's lost to Mayweather. He lost. It was seen that he lost this fight, but you know, the one thing that is makes this fight, which as you say, is that Triple G has to be talking yang yang, is money. It's a money fight. In fact, that's the biggest aspect of it.
Let's be realistic. When we talk about all these fighters nowadays, we don't know how good anybody is, because you know what the biggest problem is? There's one thing that we seem to forget about, and it's, you know how you talk about 2 and 2 equals 4? Well, bottom line is, you don't know who's anything until, it's like we're talking about Terrence Crawford right now. On the surface, everybody could ask me, is Terrence Crawford pound for pound the greatest fighter? On the surface, Crawford looks like a brand new Porsche. But here's the problem. What fighter has Crawford fought that's an equal level to him? Ask me if Sugar Ray Leonard was great. Huh? There you go.
So,
until you
none.
Tested, you don't know.
You don't
know how to get
the post up. You know, so he hasn't been tested. And unfortunately, you know, we don't know the politics in boxing.
Mm-hmm.
There's issues with promoters and networks. So let's say like a Terrence Crawford versus Errol Spence fight that we would love to see down the road, probably won't happen.
Yeah.
Or at least not until maybe 2020 at best.
Wow, well, we know what that was. Here will surprise you, too. We're going to round 8 here. You know what's it, too, Jason? A little surprised to find that Pacquiao left top rank.
Well, there have been rumblings that there have been difficulties.
Wow.
Yeah, like I believe at one point he's going to be on the Crawford Horn undercard, from
Mount Michigan. Yeah, that was the deception.
And then he, you know, he rejected that. And then apparently there were rumblings that he hasn't been happy with his payday. So, you know, hey, nothing lasts forever, you know. So he decided to part ways and do his best for him financially as he's at the twilight of his career, you know. But, yeah, so I'm not really surprised that they parted ways, because you saw it coming. At least I did. I don't know.
If you look back, there's a history of this. Mayweather left him. Okay. De La Hoya left him. Pacquiao's left them. There's three of the great fighters of this era. I mean, it's not a coincidence. Okay, De La Hoya, Mayweather, now Pacquiao. Not a coincidence here, Jason. No coincidence.
Yeah, and at the same time, there are three superstar fighters who actually became their own promoters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, De La Hoya started with Golden Boy, and then Mayweather took Mayweather promotion out of the stratosphere, you know, with all these mega millions he makes for a pay-per-view. You know, box breaking records like almost every fight.
Mm-hmm.
So, as also the new generation, you know, Aram, he's old school. Like, was he, like, 84 years old?
Yeah,
so,
84.
Yeah, he can't, you know, relate to these fighters now, you know.
He's got to ride off into the sunset at this point. It's becomes to a point right now where it's not only what these guys are doing, it's destroying the culture of the sport. There's boxing is in it. Really, really tough point right now.
Downhill slide. Boxing is down, and every phase of boxing. We're talking not only inside the ring, we're talking PR people, we're talking every phase of the sport.
You're 100% right. And listen, boxing is always going to be here. It's been here for thousands of years. It's going to be here. There's nothing. People are always into hand-to-hand combat. Two guys, one knocks the guy down, the other one, see who's going to fall. out of the two guys knocking each other out. The problem that you got now is when you have guys running around talking about they're the best ever, and now you got guys really thinking that they are the best ever. I mean, listen, Floyd, you can say what you want. Floyd, arguably, for himself and for a generation of millennials, could say he can get away with it. For me and you, we can get away with it. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you got to show me that you can beat Sugar Ray. You got to show me that, you know, fights like that. But for his own credit, he's the best of a generation. You know what I mean? He beat everybody in his generation. Maybe not old, he was that. But Mayweather was dedicated. He worked hard. He did what he had to do. You're spawning off a generation of fighters. How in the world can you say it's like this? I can go hit a baseball every day in batting practice. I can kill a home run every time. Until I go up against Ron Guidry, I don't know if I'm going to put a curveball out of the park and shoot fastballs off the machine. So how in the world? It's the same thing with friendship. Me and you, you can meet a million people when you're older, and you can bullshit. You don't know if they're your true friend until you're in that adversity together. Until you got six guys around and you got to get into a fight. Or you got your girls at home and they don't try to sleep with your girl. Yeah, I mean, let's be real. These are real guys.
I'm pretty sure he stands in time with tough convenience. Where he stands reacts in time with tough
convenience. What about that lesson? I think that was exactly what I'm trying to say. So my point of that is, tell me the world you know how big the fact is you are until you got to reach for that inner strength. Everything's a little bit of a bunch of them and hit the bag and hit the guy that. Listen, when you're in an adverse situation, how you react. So when two great fighters fight each other, but again, we're talking Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford. How do we know they're great? He's never been in a fight. I'm saying not in a fight, but he never had a dig. How many times have you seen when Sugar Ray Leonard was good, he was absolutely fantastic? Really? He's cool. He can fight.
The greatest of a fighter.
Let me cut you off.
What?
In the last fight, he came off the campus. But was not in trouble. Hurts had him beat. Now, let's not. See, now here's the thing with that. There's a million guys out there, a lot of guys that come from more proud countries like Mexico and Argentina, that have finished guys off in the final round. But there's been strong guys that come to fight and they fight again. When you're talking about a chess match in toughness, guys like Leonard Hurts, it wasn't just this guy coming back with a slug fest that got a lucky punch. You're talking a massive skill set.
You know, and
guys fighting.
Ray had some great fights in the fight now. Slug fest with Tommy, that fight changed. Tommy's chasing him after he was chasing Tommy.
Yeah.
And then the match against Benitez, comes back after the Ray. Man, what was it? The greatest of fighters, what he does after he loses, what he does and gets the best champion. Sugar Ray Robinson, when he beat Tommy Boss with decision, you're talking about. Harold Weston talked about this too, you know, when fighting in this era, when you fought at the beaches, when you fought at Hex Plus, you learned from them. So you fought a great competition that is when you serve us in it, you lose it all.
And nobody cared. See, that is a problem that you have too. This is the culture of losing. And we have done this a million times in the past. Great fighters have 10, 15 bucks in history. Right now, if you've got a box, you're like 15, you're basically not your right one. And I'm saying if it's the truth, how a fighter does with their life is much better.
You talked about that before, about, you know, nobody wants to accept losing, but 10 months back before this, a gentleman that,
time when you're like, this dude knocked me out. This dude ran my belt.
you got to get in there with him, and you got to face your demons. For a guy to get knocked out on that level of competition, and they come back, hard earned that low screen, really trying, is good for anyone.
I mean, as Harold West said, one thing was the fact that we're in touch with the energy that we let back the lane of the enemy. Says in some cases, in both of them, it's the mother man. And fighting top rate fighters, you learn it's a learning
experience. Yeah, you know, it's a resume big time.
We got to fight it and learn to round number nine. How do you have this thing so far? I thought the same thing that Brody did last week. I thought from second, third round on, he took control of the fight. More aggressive, had more control of the fight. I think he's ahead. But, Jason, what do you think?
You know, right now it's too close to call. You know, I've been watching the fight and talking. You haven't been scoring the fight, but through nine rounds, it could be a 5-4 Jacobs, you know, but it's a close fight. I haven't seen any fighter take control of the fight at any point. Jacobs landed a couple of nice body shots. Salenka's been catching him clean with the right hand to the head. So, three rounds to go is anybody's fight right now.
It's a good fight, too. You know, anytime you look around at the fight and you look up and say, wow, it's 7th, 8th round, it's been a good, it's an enjoyable fight. It's been a good fight.
Oh, exactly. And also, you have an undefeated fighter here. So, you know, he's never felt the taste of defeat. And fighters pride themselves on not losing, not being knocked out, not being knocked out. So he's hungry. He's so confident that he can always pull out a victory. And Jacob, of course, fighting in his hometown, doesn't want to take a loss. And he knows if he can win this fight, you know, there's bigger fights on the horizon. So you got two motivated fighters giving it their all in a very good and close fight right now.
And Alex always tell me when they go on the road, when they fight another country, they're more focused, they're more deterred, knowing that it's them against the world, and that attitude, you know, it can be advantageous.
Well, yeah, like, everybody likes to shut the crowd up, you know. Like, people like going on the road, you know, like being the underdog, like being booed, so they can shut everybody up. So that's added motivation right then and there. So I think that's what Salenka has in his favor right now.
And we'll see how that works. That's what that brought up here at Tessa Bell. 2 days ago was the birthday of Ella Fitzgerald, considered the first lady of South.
First female to employ the powder having the contest. Ella was originally a dancer, and the lady before her danced and tore the powder down. Legendary MC. Yeah, in fact, the powder that started the contest, MC Rob Cooper, turned and said, you know, can you say that? I don't know if you're going to top that. She went out and saw, and man,
Yeah.
Well, you said that you did it.
was there was something you liked about him from the beginning.
He did in his movement. He did not think that he was the B-side fighter at all. He did not. He had no demeanor of a B-side fighter. And the minute when I saw his feet playing in that, his balance, a fighter's balance and movement can show you where their confidence level is. And like I said, if this kid had a good jaw, you're going to have a fight at him. This kid had, this
tell
kid,
you what. Well, hey, this is round number 11, so.
All I know is my biggest thing is Danny Jacobs' teeth. Did they realize the fighter that they had to hand to? That's my question. Because I have to be honest with you. I don't think Danny Jacobs is prepared for this big. I don't want to say he overlooked them, but it, to me, it doesn't look like they took it to a point where it was.
Well, you hear yourself, okay. You might not want to say it, but at the same time, I'm not being a case here. Jason, do you think they overlooked him? But, you know, he's 29-0, but, you know, we'll fight them in the Barclays Center, and we're rocking and rolling. Did they overlook him, Jason?
That's what it appears to be. Now, you also got to keep in mind, when this fight was initially made, this was supposed to be a week before Triple G versus Canelo. So, naturally, the thought would be Jacobs would win a press meet tonight and call out the winner of next week's Triple G versus Canelo. Obviously, it had to happen because of the failed drug test. But, you know, Swinton's not a well-known fighter. You know, he has fought the Barclays Center before where he knocked out Derek Finley. So, I mean, he's not considered, you know, top-tier middleweight. He's not considered like a Charlo brothers or, you know, Triple G or even a Canelo. There you go. Yeah. Or even her. So people thought Jacobs would win fairly easily, you know, a wide decision or possibly a knockout, and that's not the case because we're around 11 right now, and it's anybody's fight, at least in my eyes.
Yeah. It's close fight. It's the second week in a row that we had a big time.
Two good undercard fights before they made it to last week. A good undercard fight here before. Last week, after his win,
I won Triple G. What's the possibility of that? If you know, we put aside, if there's any truth to no Canelo fight, thoughts there? Triple G?
Unfortunately, not going to happen. You know, Triple G's with K2 Promotions, fights on HBO. Charlo Brothers with PBC, they fight on Showtime. So, I mean, let's be honest. Unless a fight is huge, where it's pay-per-view worthy, where they could do a joint telecast and both promotional companies can make a profit, you're not going to see an Al Haymon fighter fight a HBO fighter. It's not going to happen. Unless for whatever reason, one of the parties say, okay, just fight the guy, which is unlikely. So why would you want to allow your fighter to fight on that network and not get paid, you know?
You know, as outstanding as Triple G is, Triple G is not a paid. He doesn't draw.
Well, a lot of fighters don't draw. I mean, to be honest with you, the only fighter per se that can really draw in the U.S. is Canelo, you know, because, you know, the Mexican crowd, they love him. They'll always support him. Yeah, there you go. You know, prior to that, you could say, like, Cotto was on the same level. And obviously Mayweather, it didn't matter who Mayweather's going to fight, he was going to draw. But right now, the only real draw for a fight being held in this country is Canelo. You know, overseas, you have Joshua, Amir Khan's still big in the U.K. Well, Pacquiao's on his downfall. Maybe in his home country, yeah. But there's really not a big draw outside of Canelo. And, of course, he's suspended for 6 months, so that tells you about the state of boxing right now. You
know. Middleweight final eliminator. Okay, the WBA middleweight final eliminator. All right. We've been talking, having a good time. We had a good time in other fights.
Just won this fight. Dropped him. He goes around the 10-8 round. Did what he had to do. Bam. They go at him again. But Danny Jacobs just showed the medal of a champion. Man, he threw a big right hand. Dropped that opponent. Was to give him a hard time.
I would think now that this would probably get Penny the first of the 10-8 round. And a lot of fights left here. A lot of fight here left. Well, you just said all five wrong. No jabs.
Yeah.
But Danny's very good. But, you know, show some heart, show some sense of talent. But hey, so it's coming back, though. Coming back. Got dropped. Well, yeah, the right hand again breaks. It's a 10-8 round. If he rolls around, and that's it. Yeah, the 10-8 round. And it should win in the fight. Right now, with a minute 40 left, Danny's trying to finish it, trying to stop the man in round number 12. This is a good crowd here. The knockout is probably good. Definitely, a 10-8 round, and the fight this 12 is huge. So, even if you had a 6-6 in rounds, Jacobs gets the victory because of the 2-4 and 12th round. We will see. It is a minute left in this fight, and Danny woke the crowd up and also survived any question of him winning this fight if it goes that way. A lot of people thought the fight was close. We will see. Fox Kelly, supposed to get blocked by Greater Custom Garbage Network. Danny Jacobs against Brandon Saliki. It's a tremendous fight. It's the second week in a row the Barclays Center has brought some good fights here. We had 3 good fights last week, 2 good fights this week. It seems here that the main event, though, will have a winner. Well, last week you had a draw. But the young fella came to fight. He's never lost. It seems that that's going to be the case tonight. It's 25 seconds left to go. Danny Jacobs now coming on aggressively, backing his opponent up. The WBA middleweight title final eliminator.
All that fortified slip. No punch off the slip. Why waste all that slipping if you're not going to throw a punch on the slip? You think you're loading up so much? You could have this guy out of
there. So who did the score card? I think Danny Jacobs has won this fight. Okay. The knockdown, 10-8 round. Danny Jacobs won the fight.
So that's the championship
mentality,
championship
character. Jason, championship caliber, championship mentality, says the GW Mike, the knockdown solidifies the fight. Well, yeah, like I say, like, even if you score the fight even, you know, the 10-8 round gives Jacobs to win 114-113, so he's got it in the bag. He's got it in the bag. I just hope the judges have it a close scoring. I want to see scores that are like
110-105,
119, yeah, like none of that, like 119 or 108. Right, exactly. That's what we saw, you know.
It is the WBA middleweight title final eliminator, which means title shot for the winner of this fight.
Danny Jacobs coming back, finding something when he needed to find it, showing the heart of a champion that he already has, and as a
you know what I mean? That shows that you want. It's that Sergio Martinez move right there. You know, remember, Sergio would always come in 10, 11 rounds, knock a guy out, knock a guy down. This is that mentality when you still have that tenacity in the 12th round. You know what I mean?
I think, too, the attack of person, and finally the trap. This
was a tough, right? Yeah. This is a very big win for Jacobs. I, me personally, I would like to see a rematch.
And also, as you said, a quality loss was a good
decision. A quality loss was a good decision. We could have a hell of a fight. And I got to be honest, I'm not saying that I want to see this. I don't want to see this as part of a stepping up in class for Danny. Yeah, by no means, it doesn't deserve to be a rematch.
Yeah,
but if this was something that Danny's waiting in the wings, waiting for a champion to bump, I have no problem with taking this as another fight while he's waiting. This is a competitive fight. This is a good fight.
And maybe the next time,
okay.
Well, I mean, it was a good fight. Personally, I would like to see him fight for a title next. Either, Billy Joe Saunders or Triple G, you know, because, I mean, Danny Jacobs is not a spring chicken, you know, so you only have a few years left, so
fight for his title next. I mean, yeah, it was a good fight, but I'm not sure if it'll be in high demand based off the attendance here for a rematch, even though it was a good fight. But sometimes, even though it's a good fight, you just one and done. You move on to bigger and better things, you know?
I remember my mom against that show. Well, I'm done with this, Mom. I'm going to move on.
Fight. Also, it's a risk. It's worth the reward again because it wasn't a close fight.
116-111. 117-110. 115. That's a two leg. 150-112. Danny Jacobs.
Danny Jacobs. You like the 115-112. I like that. Also, like the 116-111. 117-110. Danny Jacobs now goes to 34-2.
I take my hat off to people. You always quick to criticize the three blind men. All right? Tonight, very good fight. Very good quality opponent while waiting for a championship fight where everyone's supposed to be ducking him. Good quality opponent. Strength in the end. A championship statement and finish. And perfectly scored judging. Let's give the judges credit because there's so much bad decisions. It overclouds when you see a quality night of boxing like this with good decision. That's a quality scoring. 115. Very good. Very good quality scoring.
How redundantly have we been talking about the bad scores? Let's let Max Coleman.
This is also the best night of the interview that Max has done in a long time, or maybe ever.
Right, yeah. interview.
Yeah. Best interview Max has ever done. Let's go to Marvin Gaye before we go on our way. We'll talk some more with GW Mike. And with, is that a following anything? Is that 11-1 Yankees win?
Win number 8 now, am I right? 8 in a row?
Yeah. Well, hey. The speaker's on, whatever it is. Marvin Gaye, I need to say before we go on our way. Yeah, for the Barclays set up. And I expect to fight. Second, back to back, good week for Buffy.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time. There'll come a time when the world won't be singing. When the world won't be singing, flowers won't grow. Flowers won't grow. No. Bells won't be ringing. No bells won't be ringing. Who really cares? Who really cares? Who's willing to try? Who is willing to try? Save a world. To save a world. That's destined. That is destined to die. When I look at the world. When I look at the world. It fills me with sorrow. It fills me with sorrow. Little children today. Children today. Really gonna suffer tomorrow. Really suffer tomorrow. Oh, what a shame.
No.
What a shame. Such a bad way to
such
live.
A bad way to live.
Who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
We can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
But let me everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children.
Save the children. Wow.
See,
great thoughts.
Let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
Wasting the time.
Running used to be the way I passed my time.
Boy, I
all over town and just to see what I could find.
Step out the radio.
Every now and then I find some company. But every kiss temporary.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less, than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports In Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Earth, Wind, Fire takes me out. Where have all the flowers gone? Enjoy your Sunday. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Your birthday, Kofi, and to the play. Yeah. Bottom of my heart, God bless you. All right, see you next. Peace. Peace. I'm